Returning again to the Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And with God's word open before us, we'll seek the Lord's help and prayer. Father, we thank you for this precious word. We've read from the Psalm this morning. We come now to give our attention to it. May thy Holy Spirit, who has penned these words, now be our teacher. May he lead and guide us into all truth. We pray for eyes that are opened to behold those wondrous things in thy law. We pray for ears that will be unblocked, that we might hear the voice of thy Spirit as he teaches us this day. For hearts that are open and receptive to receive thy truth. We pray that the good seed that is sown therein might bring forth much fruit for the glory and honor of thy name. Give us help and understanding, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to Psalm 84, there are actually a few verses within it that we could have turned to this morning as we continue this short series on the blessedness that belongs to those who know the Lord. We've looked at various expressions in the Psalm. So I'm going to tie verses 4 and 5 together this morning. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. So we want to consider this morning verses 4 and 5, the blessedness of the man whose strength is in the Lord. Over the years I've heard any number of excuses as to why people don't go to church. Nothing really surprises me anymore. And we can come up with all kinds of excuses relating to busyness or other activities or family events or whatever it might be. But I want you to see this morning when we consider this portion that attendance at the house of God is very important in the Christian's life. It's very closely connected to the secret of happiness. You'll find that verses 4 and 5 really stand together. Blessed, happy are they that dwell in thy house. There's a blessedness that pertains to attendance to the house of God. Because there, verse 5 reminds us, in God's house, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. They go together. And we have been looking over the last number of weeks at that phrase, blessed is the man, learning secrets of true and lasting happiness. Psalm 32 reminded us that blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven. In Psalm 1 we saw, blessed is the man whose trust was in the word of the Lord, and in his law did he meditate day and night. Psalm 34 told us of the blessedness of the man who's trusting in the Lord. Today I want us to see the blessedness of the man, of the person who finds their strength in the Lord. To remind you once again that that word blessed speaks of intense happiness. Oh, how happy the man who's trust is in the Lord, whose strength is in thee. Let's look at the Psalm. Let's learn the lessons it holds for us. And I want you to see firstly something of the situations in which we are in need of strength. I don't know about you, but I'm sure, like everyone else around us, you have found yourself in a place where you needed strength. And the strength that you needed wasn't to be found within yourself. You had exhausted all of your resources, all of your ability, and the need still remains. We've all been there. There have been situations and circumstances that were far beyond our power and our capability, and we cried out to the Lord for help and for strengthening. Well, the psalmist speaks of such a place. He refers to it in verse 6 as the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca. Literally, a valley of tears. That's what the word Baca means. Tears. Weariness. A valley of tears. Have you ever been in a valley of tears? Valleys in the Bibles are often symbolic of trials that we go through. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. Symbolic of trials. And he's speaking here of a valley of tears. A time of great trials. The Christian life is not exempt from trials. I know there's some that will tell you, if you come to Christ, all will be well. You'll only ever be happy. You'll only experience good things in this life. The Lord Jesus, however, said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. There will be trials. Trials are often part of God's plan for our life. Came across a little poem. It goes something like this. When God wants to drill a man, and thrill a man, and skill a man. When God wants to mold a man, to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed. Watch his methods, watch his ways, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers them and hurts them and with mighty blows converts. We learn more in our trials about God than we do in our mountaintop experiences. We learn more about God when we go through the valley, because it's there and then that we call upon the Lord and we cry unto Him and we seek Him earnest. When things are going well, how easily the Lord is forgotten. There are valley experiences in life. Valleys of tears. But know this, through the valley experience, God is working in your life. God would work in you. Such trials are sent by God and sanctioned by Him because He has a plan and a purpose in each of those trials. We read in the book of Jeremiah how he goes to the potter's house and he watches the potter with his hands upon the clay as the clay spins upon the wheel and it gets out of shape. It breaks down. He takes the clay and he fashions it again, and with pressure from his hands he begins the wheel once more until a vessel of honour is made. You might feel the spinning of life around you, but know this, the hand of God is still upon you. He's still working and molding and pressing because He has something worthy of praise to be done in you and through you. The psalmist speaks of a time of trials, a valley of Baca, a valley of weeping, times when our hearts are burdened and broken down and we find ourselves hurting within. The psalmist often describes such experiences. In Psalm 6, verse 6, he says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Many a pillow has been wet with the tears of God's children. The loss of a loved one. Some tragedy that has unfolded. Many a cheek has been stained by the tears of a broken heart. And it's in such times in times of trial, in times of tears, that we stand in need of strength. We have only so many withdrawals that we can make of our own strength until we find that we have exhausted all of our resources. And it's only then that we begin to look outside of ourselves for strength from the Lord. The hymn writer expresses it so wonderfully. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed before the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. In the valley of Baca, in the valley of tears, the Lord gives strength. He gives us strength to face the difficulties before us. He provides us with strength to go through the valley and down the other side. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there I fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They provide strength and encouragement. Oh, the Lord giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That is his promise. There will be strength for the times of trial through the valley of tears. I want you to notice the strength with which we are strengthened. He not only talks about strength that's given to us, but he describes something of that strength. Verse 5, he reminds us that it's divine strength. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Sometimes when we come to a time of need, we might turn to our friends, or to our family, or to those who are around us, but really, ultimately, where real strength is to be found is in the Lord. And the psalmist is speaking of strength from outside of himself. He's not going through the valleys in his own strength. He's going through the valleys and the strength that's given to him from the Lord. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the name of David Livingstone, one of the great pioneer missionaries to Africa. But have you ever heard of Dan Crawford? Probably not. But Dan Crawford was David Livingstone's successor. He became a missionary to Africa after David Livingstone had passed into glory. At the time of Dan Crawford's death, as his body was prepared for burial, it was noted that he had a little verse pinned inside the inside cover of his New Testament that he carried in his breast pocket. This is what it said. In his own handwriting, he had written these words, I cannot do it alone. The waves dash fast and high. The fog comes chill around, and the light goes out in the sky. But I know that we too shall win in the end, Jesus and I. Coward and wayward and weak, I change with the changing sky. Today so strong and brave, tomorrow too weak to fly. But he never gives up, so we too will win, Jesus and I. Dan Crawford had learned two great lessons in life. Number one, we don't have to face all of these things in our own strength. That there will be things that will be on our power and ability. But he learned also that we face them in the Lord's strength. And thereby we can be victorious. We can be overcomers. The psalmist is not a stranger to the strength that God gives. There were times when he was spiritually exhausted. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it was almost gone from me. Psalm 38, verse 10. And what did he find? That when his strength was gone, but that it was the Lord that girdeth me with strength. God put his arms around me, lifted me, carried me, endued me with strength. The strength that we need is divine strength. We'll also find that it's daily strength. Verse 7 reminds us that they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. The idea there is that strength, new strength, is given to them for each demanding situation of life. God will give you strength for today, and when tomorrow comes, he'll provide you with strength for tomorrow also. 40 years the children of Israel spent in the wilderness, and each day, you know what they could say? They're going from strength to strength. Each day God provided for them. Each day God gave to them the very things that they needed for each particular day. Child of God, in the same way, the Lord will give you strength day by day. Do you need strength today? Well, there's strength to be found in the Lord. Do you need strength for tomorrow? Well, there'll be strength in the Lord tomorrow for you then. What about the day after that? Well, day after day, they go from strength to strength. I love the promise that's found in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 25. Do you know what it says? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Whatever each day has for you, the strength of God will be sufficient for that day. So the Bible gives us an admonition, a challenge. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So when we encounter those things in our life that are beyond our strength and ability to handle, when we've gone as far as we can, when we find ourselves, as Spurgeon was wont to say it, at wit's end corner, seek the Lord. Find his strength. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. Because when our strength is in the Lord, we will go from strength to strength. Now, we find ourselves in need of strength. We find that the Lord provides strength. Where do we find that strength? Where do we come in contact with it? Where do we receive it? To bring you back to the opening verses of the psalm, where he speaks of God's tabernacles, of the courts of the Lord, of the house of God. He's speaking about the temple. What the temple meant to the psalmist, the church means to you and I today. Notice what he says. He says that his delight is in the house of God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How beautiful, how beloved is God's house to me. That's what he's saying. How beloved is God's house to me. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. God's people ought to love the church. I'm not talking about the bricks and the mortar. I'm talking of the gathering together of God's people as a corporate body to worship and to praise the Lord. How amiable, how pleasant, how beloved the gathering of the saints together. Do you know how we prove that we love the church? Be present. Be present. Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, the Lord says, as the manner of some is. Gather in the house of God. Be present. And be present. Show your love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Make God's house a place of joy, of thanksgiving, of love and support for one another. That's what John said, how the world will know that we belong to Christ. They'll see our love for one another. We love the church, the body of Christ. Be present when we meet for worship. Be pleasant to one another. And he goes on to say, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He loved to be in God's house. When he was absent from it, he longed to be back amongst the people of God, gathering together to worship the Most High. Since the day that God saved, there has been no place so special as the house of God. Except on occasions through sickness, it has been my delight to come to the house of God upon the Lord's day to worship, to Bible studies and midweek meetings. I have to be honest, I don't really understand how someone can claim to love the Lord and yet not love his people, not love the gathering of his people, not loving the praise that's given to the Lord through his people when they gather for worship. The reasons that I love to gather at the house of God are many, but to name a few, I find hope and help and fellowship and friendship and companionship and understanding and worship. I find the things that I need for my journey and pilgrimage upon this world. I find those necessary preparations in the house of God. I'm grateful that the Lord has placed that desire in my heart to be in his house. Because I love my Savior, and I love his word, and I love his worship, and I love his people, and I love to be with him. David said that his delight was in the house of the Lord. How amiable are thy tabernacles. Then he gives us a wonderful picture there in verse 3 of dwelling in the house of God. Yea, the sparrow. You know that little bird too that was sold for a farthing, unwanted, unloved, uncared for, yet the Father's eye is upon them. How I feel sometimes, isn't it? Like a sparrow. Well, the sparrow have found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, for she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He uses two little birds. He speaks of the sparrow who's found a house in God's house, living in God's house. I think it speaks of being faithful in attendance of the house of God. It's always there. You know, there's some people like that. Every time the door's opened or a meeting's called, they'll always be there. Doesn't matter whether it's summer, spring, winter, autumn, they're in God's house. Now, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But you can't be a good Christian and not be faithful to God's house. Being a Christian and not attending church, someone said, is like being a student and not going to school. Like being a soldier and not joining the army. Being a good citizen but not paying your taxes. Being an explorer without a base camp. A sailor without a ship. A businessman without customers. An author without readers. A football player without a team. A bee without a hive. You really belong to the Lord. You love his people. The gathering up. But he also speaks of the swallow that builds her nest where she can lay her young. I think the interesting thing here is where she lays her young. even thine altars. Her young are brought up upon the altars of the Lord. I believe this speaks about bringing our children up in God's house. And every parent that saved by God's grace has a desire, I know, to make the house of God the place where they bring up their children. What a wonderful place to raise our young, where they can hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, where they learn about the plan of salvation. It's in God's house that they learn to worship and to praise the name of the Lord Most High. To be brought up amongst and in the midst of the choicest of society, those saved by God's grace, the company of the redeemed, is a good place for children to be brought up. And it is our hope, our belief, our prayer, that when they are raised up in the right atmosphere at the church, with the right example at home, that when they're brought up in such a fashion, that they'll not depart from it. To bring them up in the fear of the Lord. You know what's interesting about the swallow? It migrates. Depending on the season of the year, it'll be here and maybe next season it'll be gone again. But you know what's interesting? When they return from their journey overseas, they come back to the same place where they made their nest the last time. In fact, they'll seek out the very same nest that they used the year previously. I think there's great hope to bring up children in the house of God, that even though they may migrate, that they'll come back to the place where they were brought up on the altars of the house of God. Keep praying. Don't lose hope. Trust the Lord, this covenant grace and promise. And keep praying for those that are still wandering in the world, that God will bring them back again to make their nest upon the altars of the Lord, the place where God's word is honored. I think that's the great hope for every parent. But that means that we must desire them to have the right kind of church. A place where God's word is honored, where His will is sought, where His praises are heard, where prayer is offered to Him, a place where the Lord Jesus Christ reigns. Is it any wonder that He says in verse 4, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee." Happy, blessed is the man, the woman, the young person who dwells in God's house. Because it's there that we find the strength that we need. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. The blessing of dwelling in God's house is of finding strength in the Lord there. The two go together. How often it is when we are in God's house that we find God's strength. When we meet together for worship, and the singing of praises to the Lord, and the preaching of His word, and the songs of the praise, and the work of the Spirit, we find the strength of God and are encouraged. You see, those who are passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, what did they find? They found a well. The rain also filleth the pools. He's speaking of the pilgrimage of God's people on their way to the house of God, passing through the valley of Baca, a place that was desolate and dry. And yet when they awake in the morning, what do they find? But the dew has moistened the ground. The pools are filled with water. Where there was once deprivation and dearth, now there is life. There is blessing. When we come to God's house, burdened and hurting, there's strength to be found. Maybe in the hymn that's sung, or the scripture reading, or the message that's preached. Maybe it's a word of comfort or consolation from another brother or sister in Christ, just what our weary souls needed. Is it any wonder that the psalmist loved the house of God? It's in God's courts that his heart found strength. We need God's house. We need the company and the comfort of God's people in God's house. I've lost count of the times when I've known of people that have been going through hard times, and they've allowed those troubles to keep them out of church. I've had people that have come to me and said, I couldn't come to church today. I was just so upset, so troubled, so weary. And I couldn't help but think to myself, if only you had been here, there may have been comfort and consolation and help, a light in your darkness. Well, it's all too easy to run off somewhere else at the weekend. But you know, when you get back home again, those same problems will have to be faced, have to be dealt with. We could have missed the encouragement, the help, and we could have received in God's house. There have been times we've come to God's house discouraged, and yet left knowing that all was going to be well. God was still upon the throne. Oh, how happy, how blessed is the one who dwells in thy house. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, who finds strength in the Lord in God's house. May we know what it is to go from strength to strength in the Lord. Know his strength. Happy, blessed are those that dwell in his house, and who, when they are there, find that blessed strength, that encouragement, that help for every need. May God make it so even today, that we'll be able to say that it was good to be here. We have met with the Lord. May we find his strength and encouragement. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, bless thy word to our hearts. Encourage thy people. Fill them up in love and faith and testimony in Jesus Christ. For those that have trials and difficulties who go through the valley of tears, Lord, may they find strength and succor, encouragement in the things of God. And above all things, we pray that thy great name be glorified, that in the praise of God may our hearts rejoice in the faithfulness of a God who provides strength from day to day. Bless thy word to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name.